If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. This is the word of the Lord. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven also our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Big problem in the world today. Big problem in church. It's our definition of sin. The waters of morality have become muddied, and there's no longer a clear-cut difference between right and wrong. I think that somehow we as humankind have got it into our heads that we know better. We know better than God. We've got it into our heads somehow that we have the right to determine what's right and what's wrong, what sin is. Sin has become synonymous with what we like and what we dislike. And the problem is pervasive. People have turned a blind eye to sin in every walk of life. Government, schools, entertainment industry, the media, sports, you name it. Sin is pervasive. It is everywhere, and the problem is that people don't know what sin is. Sin has taken on social mores. You know what social mores are? Social mores are unwritten laws in society. It's fads. They are fads. They are popular opinions. But they are not always truth. And we've lost the truth in our definition of sin in our society today. People distort the truth. They lie, they steal, they kill, they gossip, they abuse others, and the list goes on. Too many people are deciding what the truth is, what sin is, without consulting God. And that, my brothers and sisters, is wrong. That is what is wrong with our society today. Romans chapter 3. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In verse 28, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Listen to this. Romans 1. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men, received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. This is not a sermon about homosexuality. This is a sermon about sin, about right from wrong. And how do we know what sin is? Sin literally means missing the mark. Where is that mark set for you and I as Christians? Right here. Right here. This is the rule book by which you and I live. This is the rule book which tells us what sin is. Sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. Wages of sin is death. Sin is to deny Jesus. You might know about him, but if you're not serving him as your Lord and your Savior, then you are denying him. Jesus said if we reject him in front of other people, he'll reject us before the Father in heaven. Says in John chapter 3 that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And anybody who rejects Jesus is condemned already. And that is sin. We have become so caught up in our society with not hurting anybody's feelings. We have been so caught up with, you can't tell anybody no. Let's get rid of that word no. I'm not allowed to tell you, you can't do anything. Because the moment I say you can't do anything, there's 100 people that are going to jump up and say, well, that's just not right, we're going to start a movement. Because everybody should be allowed to do whatever they feel like doing. So if it feels good, do it. I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible says. When God created us from the very beginning, he created us, he gave us responsibilities to dress, till, and keep the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, and then he gave us a can't, a don't, a line not to cross. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, we all know how that worked out. And sin has run rampant through the world ever since. Well, the trouble is that we don't have this clear definition of sin in our lives anymore. And we think that society should be the one who controls what is right and what is wrong. We think that popular opinion, that sports figures, entertainment industry, that if we say it often enough in the newspaper, that if government officials declare it, that even if it's wrong, even if it's contrary to the Word of God, it must be right because they said it. Listen, we all know that if it's been on Facebook, it's true. But it's sin if it does not line up with the Word of God. Do it your way. Don't worry about this book. But you see what happens when you meet up face to face with this author. There is sin running rampant in the world today, in every institution, in every area, including our homes, at work, in church. And God wants you and I to be the light of the world, to be a reflection of the love and righteousness of Jesus Christ, and to call sin a sin, to be bold in our faith, to say, I'm not going to have anything to do with that because it's wrong. But I love you, and I want to introduce you to Jesus because he's going to tell you the right way to do things. I want you to hear the word of God because it's going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And if you're living in sin, you're dying. You are drowning. Your house is on fire. Because the wages of sin is death, and it separates you from God. You and I can't be afraid of what the world thinks about us. Because we need to stand up and call sin a sin in the world. For God's honor and glory and praise, and for the salvation of others. And we are going to be held accountable for that. We all struggle with sin. We're sinners every day. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans says. But there's repentance and there's mercy with God. There are a lot of people out there who are living in sin and have no idea. And why? Because the world says it's okay. The world needs you and me to stand up and say, no, it's not okay. You see, we're not of this world, you and I. And the Bible says to no longer conform to the pattern of this world, which says that sin is okay. It's not okay. Even if we've made industries out of it, movies and careers out of it, it is not okay. And God's going to want to know, did we do our best to exhort other people, to point that out? Loving somebody is sometimes telling them, what you're doing is wrong. In a loving way, not beating them over the head with it. Sin. Running rampant in the world, destroying lives for all eternity in some cases. We need to be bold in our faith to call sin a sin and to show people Jesus. God loves you, and so do I.